Pericardial fusion. What do you see on an ECG?
Pericarditis, I know. Pericardial fusion on ECG, we don't, I don't think we talked about that.
Yeah, we have. It's electrical alternance.
Electrical alternance, is that what they literally say, or is there something specific I need to know,
They'll
like
say
QRS?
electrical alternance, or they'll say alternating amplitudes of the QRS complexes. Electrical alternance is not a buzz term like orphan antinuclei or something, because it's actually the medical term. Like, it's like saying torsades for the murmur. It's not buzzwordy. It's actually the murmur is actually called torsades. So electrical alternance is actually the medical sign. Okay. And if you have a tamponade, what's the difference between that and a pericardial effusion?
The tamponade has the Beck's triad, low blood pressure, AVD, and then you have EKG. No, it's pulsus paradoxus, that's what it's called.
So you do get pulsus paradoxus, right? But Beck triad is the hypotension, JVD, muffled heart sounds. Now, the difference between tamponade and pericardial effusion is that tamponade is merely a pericardial effusion that causes hemodynamic decompensation. So it's the fact that you have low blood pressure is why it's called tamponade. Prevents the heart from filling. That's why your JVD is increased. But it's the hemodynamic decompensation is when we call it tamponade, and it's the acuteness in which the fluid accumulates, let's say from a stab wound or from left ventricular free wall rupture following an MI or something. It can be a small volume, but it's acute. Whereas like pericardial effusion, that's not a tamponade. It could be large volume. It could be like, let's say from cancer, something like lymphoma, chylus, whatever it is, and it's slow accumulation. It's not tamponade. So how do you treat the tamponade?
You do pericardial syntesis, isn't
Good. So pericardiocentesis is the treatment, or pericardial window. They're not going to give you both. It's one or the other. And you do an echo before you do that. So if they have echo and pericardiocentesis there, choose echo. And you'd think, no way could it be that. It's definitely pericardiocentesis. Nope, the answer is echo. So it's on one of the forms. So
okay.
you do echo first. Everyone gets it wrong. I guess you have to actually confirm it. Like the presentation's there. You do an echo. And the other thing to consider is that if you do a pericardiocentesis, bear in mind, it's going to be echo guided. It's not like you're just sticking a needle in there hoping you got it right. It's like you're gonna, you have your landmarks, but it's gonna be echo guided. Okay, so pulmonary embolism, what's your acid base disturbance?
It's resp alkalosis.
Good. What's your CO2 TH bicarb?
CO2 pH bicarb. CO2 is low bicarb. I mean, sorry, pH is high. Bicarb is normal.
Correct. Bicarb's not going to change to acute, right? All right. So in cardiogenic shock, what's the major parameter we care about?
PCWB.
Okay, what about it?
It's high.
Perfect. Your total peripheral resistance?
It would be low, right?
It's high. If your heart can't pump,
That's right.
you need to constrict peripherally to increase pressure proximally. Okay, cardiac output?
Cardiac output is decreased because it can't pump.
Yeah, venous return.
Venous return is, I can't pump. I mean, I think venous return would be high, right?
It's decreased because what goes in is
Okay.
what goes in is what comes out.
Okay.
Can't have low cardiac output and a high venous return. Okay, so low venous return, low cardiac output, high PCWP, high TPR. Hypovolemic shock, what's your PCWP?
It's down.
Good. TPR.
TPR is, it's high. No, wait, hold on. TPR, PQ, it's low. That's my answer.
It's high. So in hypovolemic shock, Your TPR is high because you're trying to increase pressure proximally. When you total peripheral resistance is you're constricting your vessels distally, like in your fingers, feet, arms, legs. You're constricting peripheral vessels, arterioles, in order to keep the blood central so that you can perfuse your vital organs. And the other thing to consider is that when you're in shock, you're going to be in sympathetic overdrive. You're going to have catecholamine secretion because of the stress response. Those catecholamines are going to be binding to alpha-1 receptors, causing constriction, notably epinephrine. I mean, like, there's going to be beta-2 effect by epinephrine. It's reading between the lines because that's vasodilatory. But the bottom line is that the alpha-1 constriction is going to be a result of the catecholamines floating around from norepinephrine, epinephrine, and it's going to cause constriction distally, and it leads to a buildup of pressure proximally.
Okay. Now it's like that makes much more sense instead of just memorizing arrows. My question is the alpha-1 constriction only in specific shocks or is it in all of them?
Well, that's a good question. In the setting of something like, let's say you have anaphylactic shock and you've got leaky vessels, even if you have catecholamine secretion, it's inadequate. That's why we give intramuscular epinephrine. It's because the alpha-1 effect will constrict the vessels in addition to the beta-2 agonism, which will open the lungs and the patient can't breathe. And then likewise in septic shock, where you have decreased total peripheral resistance, we give norepinephrine if fluids are insufficient because the alpha-1 effect will constrict those vessels. So in distributive shock, like septic, anaphylactic, neurogenic, your total peripheral resistance is decreased.
So you give, basically.
You give pressors. So you give agents that will essentially augment that catecholamine response.
That makes a lot more sense, believe me. I couldn't put it together that way. Thank you.
The only reason I go into detail on that is because that's two types of shock where you said TPR was increased, but it's decreased. So, I mean, you're constricting distally in order to, if you constrict all the vessels in your legs and arms, isn't that going to increase blood flow, let's say, in your aorta? It'll keep more blood in your aorta so it can go to your kidneys, go to your liver, go to your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Push everything to the middle.
So TPR going up, when you're vasoconstricting, that's also why they have cooler extremities, right?
Yeah, but it's not, that's a very good point. But once again, when we talk about the step two exam, especially, we can't pigeonhole, because I've seen questions where it's like, it's undoubtedly septic shock. Like they'll tell you there's a guy has a catheter in and he's got a fever of 103, he's tachy, leukocytes are high. Like it's obviously septic shock. And they say he's cold and clammy. And then, like, you know, students selects like hypovolemic shock. They get it wrong. And they're like, yeah, but why is he cold and clammy? It's like, you're right. Weird. But it's like clearly septic shock.
Okay.
So the step two has a way of doing that where they're going to throw in like some sort of like unusual detail. Like you and I, for example, I think we did like a sarcoidosis question where the calcium's high, the phosphate is perfectly normal. And it's like, well, if the vitamin D is high, why the fuck's the phosphate normal? So they'll just like have like sometimes slightly unusual findings compared to what you'd expect, right? But it's still going to be the answer because you can eliminate the others.
Okay.
But the one of the highest yield themes for shock in the USMLE, as you know, is the acid-base situation, which is what?
It's metabolic acidosis.
Why?
Because of the and lactic acidosis and organ lack of perfusion stuff.
Amazing. So. Perfect. Okay. They love that. They're obsessed with that. You're going to get that on the exam. If they don't ask you directly, like if they don't ask you what's the cause of the low bicarb and it's just straight up lactic acidosis, which they've done that before. But if they don't, you'll see it in a question where someone has like shock of some kind and you'll see the bicarb's like 15. And you'd be like, oh, why the fuck's the bicarb 15? It's like, well, it's because lactic acidosis from the malperfusion, as you just said. So epinephrine for anaphylactic shock, norepinephrine for septic shock, dobutamine or dopamine for cardiogenic shock. Cardiogenic shock, they'll tell you there's a dilated heart, oftentimes with hazy lung fields. That could occur in the setting of sepsis, where you'd say, well, which one is it? If they tell you that there's a dilated heart with hazy lung fields, they want cardiogenic shock, and the answer is dopamine. That's on one of the pediatric forms.
Okay.
I think that's on pediatric form one. They give you like a young girl who's got septic shock, but then she has a dilated heart with hazy lung fields. The answer is dopamine.
Okay. So for hypovolemic shock, you said PCWP is low, TPR is high. For cardiac output and venous return, cardiac output would be high. Is that correct?
Cardiac output? No, it's low.
It's low because there's lack of.
Yeah, you can't have increased cardiac output when you have low blood volume.
Okay.
Your heart might be pumping fast, but
That's what I was
it's only
thinking of.
pumping fast because it's trying to maintain cardiac output that's not there. Heart rate times stroke volume, cardiac output, right? And your heart rate's high, but your actual stroke volume is low just from low blood volume. Your heart's pumping fine. Maybe percentage-wise, your stroke volume is maintained, but the actual volume itself is still low. So the cardiac output's low.
Okay.
Don't have to spend all day on this, but like the shock questions, like they're gonna show up in your exam.
Yeah, I was worried about it.
I
That's
just
why
don't
I'm.
want you to fuck up a PCWP question. Like pulmonary capillary wedge pressure is like it's really important. And like if you get a question where they show you like dude has fucking ST segment elevations in 2-3 in AVF, and the PCWP is 24 millimeters of mercury, and the normal range is like upwards of 10 or 12 or something. Like, I don't want you thinking about that question, being like, is it hypovolemic? Or like, don't even go there. It's just high PCWP, it's cardiogenic shock, it's an MI. Right? We've seen questions on that. Yeah, that's our shock discussion.